Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast, and you can check out my cartoon, The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious, the just perfect Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Haddly doodly, oh, how are you doing?
Haddly doodly, neighbor. I'm doing great. We're going to be on Watch What Crappens. Happens tomorrow. So I'm super excited for that. So I'm just walking on sunshine, Ben, okay?
Yeah, we pre-taped it, and it was so much fun. So that's going to be Tuesday night is going to be our Watch What Happens return appearance with also our friends Ira Madison III and Sasha Morfa of the Bravo Breakdown, and Ira's from Keep It. So definitely go watch it. And there's also an after show that's going to be posted online where we got to ask Andy some cool questions. You know, we got to do more impersonations. So it was so fun, and it's so cool that that they had us back. And it's like, it's cool. It's so cool. So yeah, check that out. It's really, I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah. So we're still geeking out over here, basically.
Geeking out, in case you can't tell.
Yeah, so that was super fun. And both Atlanta and Married to Medicine were super fun this week. So last week on this show, we mentioned that we were going to be doing a full Married to Medicine recap the next day. Well, we did record that episode. We loved it. We thought it was very funny.
It's great content.
We were really glad to have Married to Medicine back in our lives. And then guess what? We fucked up the recording. So yeah. After almost 10 years together, we can still completely fuck up a whole day. That's just welcome to our show. Okay.
Welcome to our show. So this is a double recap episode of Atlanta and Married to Medicine. So let's start with Atlanta because it is the wedding of the century. And it's about time. We've finally arrived at the big Jahil wedding. And I thought about it today. I don't know if we ever thought about this before, but why are they called Jahil? Like, that's a real sloppy portmanteau, right? Like, that's like Cynthia and Mike Hill, like a first name and a last name. Are you allowed to do that? Are you really allowed to do that, Jahil? Shouldn't it be like, if you take Bailey and Hill and you put those together, you get bail, which is appropriate.
Hill Bailey.
They're the Hill Baileys.
Well, Cynthia is, you know, I really like Cynthia, but Cynthia's all about herself. You know, she's a model. She's got her ego going. And as we see later in the episode when she gets to her wedding vows, she's pretty much about herself. And so it's funny that her couple name tag is just her initials. It's like C. Hill. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty fitting. And it's also very fitting. I wonder if they held this episode because it came out, the 10-10-20 episode came out on 13-13.
Oh, wow. Double prime.
Well, it didn't come out then, but it was episode 13 of season 13.
Oh. Well.
Obviously, because you know, well, there's no 13th month, in case you know anybody's counting out there.
You don't know that. You don't know what calendar we're using. You don't know. She's looking for numerology wherever she can find it. So I think she was probably very happy with that. I actually think, like, you know, we spent a lot of time shading Cynthia, and we'll continue to probably in this very episode for holding this giant wedding in the middle of a pandemic. But really the upside to it was that, basically the Bravo camera crews couldn't go in, which meant we didn't have a full episode dedicated to this wedding. It was just kind of like a few segments towards the end. And I think that was actually a blessing for us because I don't know if I could have done a full show inside Cynthia's wedding. I don't think I could have done it.
I think it was a blessing. I felt kind of bad for Cynthia because it's your wedding day. You've got Wendy coming for you. you know, which can't feel good. And then it rains. So they had to do this all inside. And then what was the other thing that happened to her?
A once in a lifetime pandemic.
They couldn't shoot it. Oh, and then she didn't even get to end the episode with her wedding. It wasn't like the whole wedding. It was like, you know, okay, the wedding's done. And now Portia is going to talk to the hot dog king.
Yeah, seriously. How sad is that? That she didn't even get to close out her own wedding episode. You're right. Did Luann get to close out her episode? Hers was also not filmed by Bravo cameras. Not sure.
Yeah, there were, and that was before COVID. I think that was just like general
germs.
That was germs.
Just
that was just like so many of Tom's exes were there that it was just like a general germ warning.
It was a global Tomdemic. That's what that was. Okay.
Tom 19.
D'Agostino virus. So, okay. I had it. I'm a survivor of D'Agostino 19.
I'll never wear a mask again. So here we are. We are at Lake Bailey. Everybody is getting ready. It's one day before the wedding. And, you know, of course, she's getting massages with Noelle, and they're worried. She's very concerned about the wedding.
Yeah, very concerned because there's a hurricane coming through. This reminds me of that old, I want to say it's an old Jewish joke. It may actually not be reserved just for the Jewish religion. It may just be for all of us. But the thing where, like, there's a guy and he's in a house, and the house is, like, it's raining or something like that, and everyone has to evacuate. And he's like, no, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God will save me. And then the waters are rising. Let's go up the second floor. And everyone's like, you got to leave. And he's like, no, I'm going to pray. And then, like, they send, like, a boat. They send, like, a car or something like that. And then he's on his roof, and they send a helicopter. And like, you got to jump in. You're about to get, you know, you're about to get swept away. He's like, no, I'm praying for God to save me. And then, like, he winds up drowning, and then he sees God, and he's like, WTF, like, I was praying. Why didn't you save me? He's like, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. I sent you an ambulance. Like, what do you want? To me, this was like, this is a long way of saying, this is what this wedding reminds me of. How many signs do I have to show you, Cynthia? I gave you a pandemic. I gave you a hurricane.
During the divorce season, that's what God's going to be doing on his Barca lounger in heaven. He's going to be like, what part of the signs that I sent you did you not read about my kill? Okay.
You know, just because a date is 10-10-20 and it looks cool doesn't mean that it's good luck. It does not mean that. It could be the opposite.
I don't think so either. I mean, 10-10-20 equals 40. And whenever you have your 40th birthday, people give you black balloons and mourn you. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know that that's the best choice. But who am I?
We can all agree This Is 40 was the moment for me when Judd Apatow stopped making good comedies. So like, 40 is a bad number for me.
Oh, blame Katherine Heigl.
No, was I don't. Her? No. Katherine Heigl is in Knocked Up, which I love. But I guess if anyone you're going to blame is Leslie Mann, although I don't blame her.
I love her. I just blame Katherine Heigl for everything still, you know?
We can blame her
for anything. Pizza late, Katherine Heigl. Like, anything Katherine Heigl's good for.
Yeah, so anyway, Katherine Heigl is ruining this wedding, and Cynthia is like, God, like, Wendy is coming for me. Katherine Heigl just burned down my venue.
Hurricane Heigl's coming.
Hurricane Heigl is coming.
So she is having her, you know, night before dinner. What do you call that? Your rehearsal dinner or whatever. Yeah. She's having that over at her place because I don't know if the Chuck E. Cheese was burned down. I don't know what the reason. Oh, because they were going to have it outside, right?
Yeah.
But then they had to have it inside. So I don't know if they were going to have catering outside that couldn't come. But for whatever reason, now they have pizza.
Heigl and Company was going to be catering. And, you know, as we see what happened. So,
Chucky Heigl's pizza.
Oh, child, we're getting Chucky Heigl tonight. What do you want? Meanwhile, Portia is having mixed feelings about seeing Dennis at the wedding, but she's like, whatever, I'm going to be the best dressed one there, you know? And then we see Drew and Ralph still pretending to be in a happy marriage. And then it's a countdown.
Aren't they doing like, how they started this one?
I think it was just maybe there was something with like the kids. Like they're like, she was like, come hug me. She wanted like the son to hug her. And then the little girl wanted to hug her. It was just like a,
It was a Heigl moment.
It was very much, you know, we're discussing WandaVision in the bonus episode this week, and it was a little bit like that. It was like Drew Vision. So then, a much worse version of WandaVision. Drew Vision.
You're just always trapped in a new house with a husband who's like emotionally abusing you.
Yeah, it just, yeah. There's not even a nosy neighbor.
WandaVision.
There's not even a nosy neighbor to be like, what the fuck? So
yeah, Portia's the neighbor and she's not nosy at all. She's just like, hey girl, I don't care what's going on in your life. Okay.
She was like, I'm actually not intrigued to know how you're doing this all. I just am here.
Okay, so then we go to Eva comes over to Cynthia's house. Eva looking amazing. Great. You know, she is a model after all.
She is.
And you know, they finally get a season without Eva being pregnant, and now she's not on the show. I mean, could you give the girl one season to strut her stuff? Because Eva gave the most shit out of everybody in this episode on her
back. I would like Eva back. I feel like we never really got the Eva that we deserved. And I'm not going to be like, oh, because she was pregnant, because that's not fair, right? But she was like, I think she was pretty tired for two seasons. And I want her to be in, like, you know.
Yeah, she deserves to have a season where her presence. Feet don't hurt the whole time.
Yeah, she's got to deal with her body, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, now that that is done, like, let's have, because we know Eva can be, she can read people up and down, and I want that. Yeah. That's what I want from her.
We deserve it. Bravo.
We deserve it. Eva the diva. So anyway, they're all walking around, and at one point Mal goes up to Cynthia's like, hey, can we talk about stuff? And then Cynthia just rolls her eyes. We don't even know why Cynthia's upset at her sister, but she's like, but we already know. We get it. It's because anytime Mal says, can we talk about stuff? You just know it's going to be like a big downer moment in the middle of like a very fun Chucky Heigl's pizza party.
Yeah, well, Mal's upset because she got screwed out of everything. It's her sister's wedding,
and she didn't get to
go on the bridesmaids trip. Yeah, she gets nothing, you know? So she's like, you made me work during your bachelorette party. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So Cynthia's telling us about, like, you know, the rain and everything, that this is a COVID-19 wedding, and, you know, they're they can move it inside, but she would just feel more comfortable if it were outside. And I'm like, or you could have just had a small thing and then a bigger thing after the pandemic, but, you know, just mincing words.
But I really like that even her diva wedding is being ruined by a diva hurricane, because a hurricane is Delta, okay? And there is no bigger diva than Delta Burke. From Atlanta. Okay. Consuela.
It's appropriate. I mean, Delta, I mean, it is, they are located in Atlanta, Delta Airlines. So it's like the hurricane's like, I'm coming back, mother. It's a Deandra hurricane, actually.
Hurricane Deandra. Fuck you, mother.
So anyway, Cynthia's like, well, they say that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, I've had some doubts, Kelly Clarkson. I've had some doubts. And then we see a headline of Wendy Williams slams selfish Cynthia Bailey for her big wedding amid the pandemic, as did everyone else, not just Wendy Williams.
Yeah, Wendy and everyone. And I also felt like that was kind of Nene getting a last laugh, right? I know that she didn't end on great terms with Wendy last season, but maybe she's on better terms now. But either way, I feel like Nene's like, haha, my friend, got you on your wedding day, biatch.
I think so.
She's telling us that they've made sure to make sure that this wedding is going to be safe. Okay. They're going to have sanitizer. They're going to have temperature checks, and they encourage all the guests to get tested, which is basically like saying, you know what? We're going to do a free Broadway show. We just encourage donations. Do you know how much shows make? $5.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's like the example dollar that they throw in the hat to pass around. Someone probably take that $5 out of the hat. Okay.
Anytime the public has been encouraged to do something, they never do it. That's the law of encouragement.
I am the public. Okay. Yeah. And I will not be encouraged. So keep it to yourself, guidelines.
So Kenya shows up and there's like a bench outside. So Kenya walks up and she sees Eva, and then Kenya just starts to like ramble about the really randomly. She's like, ha, 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 I didn't know what to wear. I was going to wear a dress too. And then she said we'd be outside in the grass. So I was like, I have to have boots on. And now I'm wearing this. I'm like, Kenya, what is wrong with you?
She's like monologue? Dissing because she's kind of, I feel like she's kind of dissing Cynthia for Kenya not knowing what to wear. You
I
know?
Think so.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. So Cynthia comes back out. Now, Cynthia is a word art lady. She's got a lot of word art out there. Mm. She's got one that says home, and she's got one that says like comfort. Like, you're encouraged to sit on this bench. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of words out there. An anchor. There's an anchor from a boat.
Yeah. Well, it's in case a toddler comes over and needs to point at words to learn, you know? just in case. So they're all sitting on this bench outside, and Cynthia's saying how she's been in a war dealing with PR stuff. And, you know, they're talking about Wendy Williams. I mean, you know, Cynthia should not have had this wedding in my mind. I think it was pretty dangerous. But given that she was having it, I mean, I do kind of feel bad because it is her wedding at the end of the day. It was a dumb choice, but like it does suck that she has to feel that way. Of course, again, she just didn't have to have it during a pandemic and could have avoided all that, you know, but I guess whatever.
Yeah. So Candy comes over and Mal comes out and she's like, you know what? I need you guys to make me feel special because you really haven't made me feel special.
Oh, Mal is so Mal in this scene. And I love the way Kenya also addresses her. When Mal walks out, Kenya goes, hey, you got your hat on. It's like she's like a little kid, like, oh, cheer up, little one. You got your cute hat. You got that. You missed Bolo, but you got a hat. Oh, cheer yeah. up, Mal.
And Eva's saying, well, listen, those blogs are talking. So what happened? She's like,
well, stuff definitely happened, and everyone here is a witness to something.
And she's like, was it Tanya? And she's like,
well, you know, Shamia was having fun and kissing her friends as well. And Portia, well, I don't know if Shamia was part of that. Mistress would know.
God, Kenya, you're such a drag. She's so boring. I mean, at least she used to be fun and bitchy. Now you're just horrible, you know? At least bring the fun back, Kenya.
True, although, honestly, if we didn't have Kenya doing this really craven, investigation, we really wouldn't have anything to talk about, to be honest. So at least she's given us something, even if it's like she's being a terrible friend to everyone at that party. So Candy's basically like, well, there were multiple people having fun in the room where other people could see. And then Eva's like, well, when did you guys elect not to talk about stuff? Because, you know, people made up a whole bunch of lies about me. And Candy's like, well, people made up lies about me, too. And they sort of stare at each other.
Wait, say it again?
Nothing. It was just like that, something that they said to each other. It didn't really have any bearing on anything.
That's kind of how a lot of this episode is. It's just like, yeah, that happened one time. Oh, yeah, and then that happened one time. Kenya's just rehashing the same old tattletale bullshit. So they're talking about, like, what happened on the coffee table. And Eva's like, I want to know what that coffee table did.
Yeah. Coffee table. What did you do? Yeah.
Candy's like, well, there were lips on lips. And she's like, unless it was my lips or my lips, like, live your life. What the fuck do I care? And Kenya says, I'm
the only one with the guts to say what happened. So Portia will try to discredit me and lie.
I'm like, what, are you guys running for mayor?
Yeah. By the way, the only one with the balls to say what happened, like... Like you're now trying to make yourself some sort of hero of the gossip that you put out there. Like it does not take balls to promote the story that you've decided to put out in front of the cameras. like I said that someone was having sex, and now I'm the only one saying someone had sex, and that takes a lot of balls to verify my own story.
Yeah, true. So she's left alone with Candy. Everyone else goes inside. And she's like,
well, I do want to say, Candy, I have seen your support for me, and you have not left me on the line with this. You just haven't left me out hanging with this whole party fiasco. So I would like to thank you and offer your community a better after-school program.
What are we thanking fucking constituents for their support, Kenya? Go away.
Yeah, and Candy basically is like, well, a person said that they were in there, and it's basically Tanya, you know, and she's like, but I don't want to ruin that person's relationship. And Kenya's basically like, okay, so we're going to ruin her relationship? Got it. Okay, I'm glad you said that. We're on the same page. We're going to ruin Tanya's relationship. She's like, no.
Yeah, and the producer asks Kenya why it's so important to her, and Kenya's saying,
well, if you do something with all these eyes around you, you can't expect it not to be talked about. And if it were me, it would be a parade. So let's just level the playing field.
Okay, so you're just like getting random revenge on people because your life is fucking terrible. Glad you can see that at least.
So instead of leading by example by showing people, you know, how not to behave in a situation, or I should say how to behave, you're instead just going to be like, well, since you would theoretically take me down, I'm going to take you down too. So
yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Kenya's basically says to Candy, like, I'm not asking you to lie. I'm just saying, don't leave me with my panties down, because they already had their panties down. And Candy's like, I just don't feel like people should be shamed for whatever they want to do sexually. Kenya's like, got it. So we're going to shame people for what they do sexually, right? That's the plan.
Thank you for your support.
So, party, party all night long. Party, party all night long. Shamia is having a full-on niece's party.
Yes.
Welcome to niece party. And man, she's really gone crazy at the Kinko's. There's just shit plastered everywhere that says like hashtag nieces, hashtag my mother's sister's daughter. Like, okay.
She is bored. I don't know if this is the first time we've filmed in Shamia's house. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But she basically has like my dream suburban basement. Like, it was such a basement that I was like, did I hang out here in high school? I feel like I hung out here. I hung out in Shamia's basement in high school, right? Because this is clearly someplace I hung out with. It is so like the basement that you go hang out in and like have popcorn and watch like Dirty Dancing or something on VHS.
Yes, it was. I'm still on Candy. I was like, why is Kenya still complaining about the party? Sorry, I need to scroll down a little bit over here.
Leah Black chimes in with her like, oh, tear it down.
On my back.
So there's balloons and don't judge me, hashtag don't judge me signs everywhere. And Drew comes over and twerks again. And, you know, the Bolo episode was fun, guys. I'm going to need something more from you.
Yeah. So Portia shows up, but the producer's like, so Portia, do you know any French words? She's like,
fries.
And they're like, okay. She goes,
wee wee, niece, ease.
I'm like, could use some work. Like, I don't know, say croissant at least. And then Marlo comes in. She's like, cocktails, this is a real party.
Party for the nieces. And Portia says,
oh, look at that. There's a hashtag on the wall. Girls just want to have fun. I used the same hashtag today, and I didn't even know you were going to use that hashtag.
Like, oh my God, we're so on the same page. We are really sisters. We are sisters in hashtags.
This okay? Really does prove that girls do just want to have fun. And if there's no better way to have fun than doing a hashtag, girls just want to have fun.
And then going to Kinko's to print it up.
So, and then they start playing fake Material Girl music, which I guess is a nod to the 80s, but I'm like, but this is Material Girl, not Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I hope someone noticed that in production. So,
you know, Cindy Lauper did. She's at home, you know, getting ready to do a psoriasis spot. Like,
how could you? How could you treat me like that?
Hello, this is Cindy Lauper. I'd like to speak to whoever the music supervisor is.
That would be Katherine Heigl.
Yeah. Oh.
I'll get you, bitch. Get you, Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl's just sitting at a soundboard, just smirking like, ha. Played an incorrect song from the era. So, an incorrect allusion to a song from the era.
McDreamy, like, that bitch.
So, I'm knocked up with evil plans.
Yeah, Portia is talking about being anxious to see Dennis at the wedding, and she's anxious because he put up, this where he put up something on Instagram that said single AF? And she's like, how could he do that right when everybody was saying that somebody had sex with Bolo? Because now it looks like he's single because he's mad that I was the one who had sex with Bolo. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you know what? I think that comes up slightly later. But either way, the point still stands that Dennis does do that. And she's really pissed because she feels like, yeah, it made it look like he dumped her because of the Bolo stuff, which is so classic Dennis. He's a piece of shit, and I'm sick of him, and I will tear into him later this episode. So Kenya, yeah, so the thing is that Kenya posted on Instagram, there's a story of her like writing a bowl, and she goes, hashtag it wasn't me. And then Marlo also used the hashtag, and so she's like, why did you do that? So Portia thinks that Marlo and Kenya are kind of in cahoots about this whole thing, and it hurts Portia. And Marlo's like, no, there's a very logical explanation. So my nephew came up to me and said, auntie, what did you do? Catherine Heigl said you slept with a stripper. And I was like, no, that's a lie. It's a vicious Heigl lie. So I had to nip it in the bud and say, hashtag, it wasn't me. Hashtag, Kenny and I are besties. Hashtag, she gave me this idea. Totally my own idea.
Yeah, you're a liar. Okay, you're a lie. So Portia's like, well, you know, we're on the same length, me and Shamia, and you're on the same length, you and Kenya. And so Portia's like, yeah, you know, obviously Kenya's using Marlo, and it's kind of super calculated because she has this big campaign, which is hilarious because that is what they make it sound this whole episode. Like they're running against each other in politics, you know?
Mm-hmm. She has this big campaign, and what better way than to get somebody gullible who needs you to fight for you and be on your side.
Right. The thing is that, you know, I think where Portia is sort of like losing this whole thing. Well, she's not losing it because who cares if she slept with Bolo? And if she did sleep with Bolo, she doesn't owe it to any of us to say if she did or not. But I think where, in terms of just like with getting her friends off of her back, if she had taken a tone of like, listen, I wish I had slept with him. That thing was huge. I would have loved that, but I didn't. I wish. I regret. So, you know, the best I had was Dennis. But she's just like, nope. Nope, nope. And I think that's making them think more and more and more that she totally did it. In case anyone's wondering my thoughts on how she could have handled it with her friends.
Yeah, that doth protest too much.
Yeah.
If you were. So Marlo is basically like, listen, you know, I didn't do that, but you're still not going to regulate who I'm friends with, Portia, okay? Because no matter what, I will still be friends with you no matter who you're falling out with, which is, you know, Marlo really is full of shit, but she says everything in such a convincing way.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost makes you forget that she got into a fight with Portia over her doormat once. So then.
Because Nini didn't like her at the time.
Yeah. Exactly. So Marlo shaded her for the size of her doormat, and the fact that they got so mad about it in the middle of Spain is really.
But didn't that teach everybody something? I mean, doesn't everybody shopping for a doormat now really think about the scale?
Proportion matters. So Latoya shows up, and Shamia made everyone shirts. So Latoya takes off her shirt to like put on the. It's like, ooh, Latoya's shirtless, which is so Latoya. And then Drew was like in the bathroom, and so she twerks on Toya, and Drew's like, you know what? I reciprocate vibes. You know, I reciprocate the vibes I get. You know, and so if Toya walks in with good vibes, then I'm here for it. I'm gonna do my awkward twerk that I learned from Bolo, and he saved my marriage because of it. Thank you, Bolo.
Yeah. So they play some truth or dare Jenga. And Latoya's like, if you could smash somebody in this room. So it's like another like faux lesbianism. Aren't we wacky? We're like kind of lesbians for a minute. Yeah. And they basically play some truth or dare before we get to some good old fashioned arguing.
Yeah, we did get to see Marlo run around the basement with her boobs hanging out for a few laps, which was fun. They're talking about Latoya brings up the fact that B. Scott. She goes, oh, B. Scott posted about Tanya and Portia being in the room with Bolo. And then she says, oh, and also Bolo posted a video saying he did fuck y'all. And then Portia's like, you lie! And then she's like, yeah, it was a joke. It was a joke.
And She's like, well, Kenya said she heard fuck me harder coming from that room, and that really only points to you and Tanya, so... And Portia's like, that is not true. And she says, okay, then, you know, who cares? And Shamia says, well, I mean, did Kenya tell you to leak it? Is that what's going on here? Are you the leaker for Kenya? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I think that Kenya did it. And so they're basically accusing LaToya of being Kenya's, you know, henchman or whatever. And right. LaToya says, well, why would I do it? And Portia's like, well, you come in here asking me questions to perpetuate a lie. And what you're not going to do is come in with weird energy because you're being two people. So now they're mad because LaToya was jumping on Kenya's hashtag as well. It's right. like a hashtag. It's a big hashtag fight. And Portia goes, yeah, she's part of the campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Which I don't know why this is like a bombshell to any of them. Like, LaToya's been Kenya's henchman all season long. And now she's just doing, like, she's just kind of like hedging her bets with the other women just in case her gamble with Kenya doesn't pay off. She can, you know, she has other people she can latch onto, you know?
Yeah.
She learned from Marlo. So now, like, Drew is like, you know, they just start bickering and everything. And basically, Toya and Drew get into it. And because Toya's acting like she doesn't, LaToya does, is acting like she doesn't care about any of this. And then Drew's like, well, no, you do care because at dinner, you said Drew was being inappropriate with a stripper. And LaToya's like, you know, well, you said I don't honor marriage. And it's like, do you honor marriage being bumping and grinding on Bolo, you know?
And so Drew tells her, oh, well, you know what? That mouth, that's why your husband canceled your ass. And she's like, your marriage is struggling. And she's like, Drew's like, I have a perfect marriage, a perfect house, and three perfect children. All right.
Like, Drew, okay, I like you, Drew. You do not have a perfect marriage. Your marriage is actually, as far as we can tell, probably the most dysfunctional one outside of Kenny and Mark, who are barely even married. So just putting that one out there.
Yeah. So LaToya's like, well, just know that I was the one who filed for divorce in my marriage. And she's like, you know what? Don't ever, 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 bitch, say my name in regard to things that you don't know for a fact. And she's like, you're just mad because you were up on Bolo. And then Drew's like, you didn't mention yourself or what you were doing. And then Portia's like, I just can't keep up with these girls. Like, yeah. Like, 1 minute she's twerking on LaToya's ass and... You know, come on.
Yeah, Drew's like, yeah, I was on Bolo. Bolo flipped me on a coffee table, and I was making my ass clap. And look at it, you know, look at it right now. Okay, thank you very much. And my husband loved it. I'm like, I think we all saw that scene. I don't think Ralph loved it. I don't think Ralph loved having his wife on the coffee table.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and Drew says, you know what? Do your makeup and dress up on YouTube, okay? Yeah. But do not come for my marriage.
So then,
I like when people with the same job shame each other.
Yeah.
I like you're both literal tryouts right now on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Calm down.
Yeah. So they just are kind of slightly getting into each other's faces. And Drew is like, you know, you don't have to speak to me. As long as you receive it, then we're good. Are we good? Are we good? And Toya just sort of like makes this fart face like, I'm too drunk now to talk about this. So they kind of like, they kind of cool down, and Toya basically again says that she thinks that Kenya leaked the story, and then we do get a flashback to last week when Kenya is like, you know, saying that she doesn't leak things to Page Six, but she does to B. Scott and to TMZ.
Yeah, if it was B. Scott or TMZ, maybe. If it was B. Scott or TMZ, maybe. If it was B. Scott or TMZ, maybe. Kenya is a witch montage.
It was Kenya all along. So Toya So Toya's like, you know, Kenya's going through a lot, and you know, she's going through a divorce, and her husband is asking for alimony, and he wants a check. And then Drew is like, well, watch what you say about her business. And Toya's like, well, divorce isn't easy. And, you know, as you know, you've been through one. And she said that to Portia. And that, like, pisses off Portia. Because Portia has been through a divorce. But I guess she doesn't really like LaToya kind of just, like, throwing it in her face like that.
I don't understand that. I mean, I didn't think LaToya was being mean. She was just like, well, you've been through a divorce. You know it sucks. And she's like,
what? You don't ever go to church with me, honey, because when you get in front to tell your own damn testimony, you'll be telling my business.
Portia, you got divorced on the show.
Yeah.
It was like, it's televised knowledge, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah, but you know, there's a way. Sometimes people say something like that, and it's kind of like, I'm saying this in a way that bonds us. And some people say it in a way that's like, and I'm saying this to remind you that you're a divorcee, you know, as if it's a bad thing. And I think that Portia took it in the latter way.
Yeah, I don't know. So then Portia's like, well, okay, then, you know, she better be glad that I'm nice, because if I wasn't, she's just given me plenty ammo to ruin her, you know, plenty of ammo to ruin her. And LaToya says, well, I'm trying to be friends with you guys, but also have a friendship with Kenya. And Portia's like, well, Kenya is the one putting me in the middle. And then you keep coming around me to be friends. And like, do you even see what your friend is doing?
Right. And LaToya responds by just playing with a bag. There's like a plastic bag that she just like puts on her head or something.
Yeah, and she just like, ignores okay. her. Yeah.
So then Portia just gives her a side eye and Shamia knocks over the Jenga table. And 30 minutes later, we're done with the scene. it's like a very, very long scene that Bravo tried to make look like it was going to be a brawl. And it was just like them repeatedly talking about Kenya and like yeah. whether or not she leaked anything.
So then we go to Lake Bailey to a super awkward scene where yes. Barbara, Cynthia's mom, is super mad at Cynthia, and Cynthia's trying to, we don't know why, and Cynthia is trying to lighten up the mood by saying, look, I got Playboy bunny ears for later, you know, after the wedding. Okay, well, I guess I won't get into all that. And the mom's like,
She's like, when? She's like, I am an at-risk group, so I have a lot on my mind right now.
Yeah. So Mal's coming over. And why is Cynthia so careful with masks right now? Like, suddenly Cynthia cares about masks in her home.
I don't... Nothing makes sense. It is so cringeworthy. Her COVID protocols are... They are a challenge. So, I mean, I know they're all getting tested by Bravo a lot, you know, so I get that. But still, I'm with you.
She's like, at home, and now she's like, I need a mask. It's like, okay, Cynthia. So then Barbara says, well, you know, you've been stressed getting into it with me and everything else, but we're friends again. And she's like, okay, thank you, Mom. Like, I could have used that. This episode could have used the fight with Cynthia and her mom.
I agree. And I also would have liked to have known if when Mal showed up, was she wearing her hat? Because that's kind of her thing. Oh, Mal, you're wearing the hat. Oh, Mal.
So everybody's getting ready for the wedding now.
Yes. And Candy's getting her makeup by Derek J. And then Kenya's getting her makeup. And then Portia's getting her hair and makeup. And so this is where this all comes out. So... she told Dennis she didn't want him to be at the wedding, and he thought that Portia was bringing a date to the wedding, so he went online and wrote single as fuck as an Instagram story, which is so passive aggressive and like so Dennis. He's just such a manipulative fucker, you know? Like, I don't care if this means I will never get a free hot dog from his hot dog shack. I'm going to say it. He's a manipulative fucker, and I can't deal with it anymore. I cannot deal with it.
Yeah. So then we go to the wedding, and we find out that the crew was unable to attend the wedding due to COVID restrictions.
Yeah. So now we get home video footage. And so we see Cynthia walking around this venue, and then Drew calls. So Drew was supposed to be singing Angel of Mine by Monica. And conveniently, day of, she's like, my voice is up. I can't sing it because I suddenly realized I will probably get mocked ruthlessly by the entire audience. So no voice.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, maybe you should stop warming up before your appetizers. Okay, if yeah. your voice is that weak. So Cynthia's like, of course she loses her voice. Let me add it to the laundry list of shit that's gone wrong, and I'll add it to this sign that says laundry list that I've hung up the bridal suite.
So she's like, you know what? It's been rough, but today I feel at peace. 10-10-20 is in God's hands. And what God has chosen for 10-10-20 is a hurricane and a global pandemic. And Wendy Williams.
Yeah, you're a regular Noah in the Ark over there, okay? So her wedding dress we see on the form, and it's very NeNe reunion dress.
It's that guy. It's like, I don't know. I don't think it was by him, but it looks very much like, what's his name? Pedram. He does like a lot of the Bravo dresses. It's like very bejeweled and has, I don't speak fashion, so it just has like shapes and
it has like that skin toned mesh stuff under it, like
ice skating, like figure skater bride, you know. But you know, it's Cynthia, so she, you know, she makes it work obviously because she's beautiful, and
she's really a stunner, my god.
And honestly, I have to say, for as much shit, as much as I roll my eyes about Chahil, or Hail Baileys as I like to call them now, when Cynthia was talking about how much she liked Mike, and she said, you know, I like everything about him. I like this. I like that. I like the little spot on top of his head where his hair's receding. I just like to kiss him. I was like, you know what? That was actually very sweet. And I was.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was sweet.
She didn't say one single thing about him, like his personality. She says, I like everything about him. His lips, how his skin feels, the spot where his hair is receding. I like to kiss him.
That Should is
I
his keep personality. His, no, the spot where his hair is receding is Mike's personality. Haven't you watched him long enough to figure that out?
Not one single thing about his personality or the actual him. It's just,
you know,
like,
what?
I like to kiss him.
Objectify him. Objectify him. It's about time. Let her objectify her man. I am for it.
Good. I was like, this is not romantic. So everybody is getting dressed, and you know Kenya is there because you just hear, yes! Yes! Oh,
God. Yeah, she says, this is 2020 chill day. At which point Hugh Downs comes out and he's like, today we are talking to Cynthia Bailey. little 2020 humor. For those of you guys who were around in the 90s.
And we're at the wedding. So Candy walks, I wrote, Candy walks down the aisle. I'm bored. Eve is gorgeous. Drew is dressed like a crow. Those are my notes.
I didn't even take in what Drew was dressed as, but that's hilarious.
She had big black feathers.
She also, she's like looking around and she's like, oh, these are actually the colors I wanted for our wedding. And, you know, which was a reminder that she did not have a whole big wedding. Which
oh, God, this is now this is her season two is going to she's going to have a wedding now because she said, I definitely feel we deserve a wedding because we just got married on the beach. I'm like, oh, great. So now we get a vow renewal. Like, we need any other caution signs that your marriage is doomed. Please spare us. Okay, just divorce him.
I know. Can you spare us the episode where we go to Destin, Florida and you renew your vows with Ralph, please? So
I hope they do it in Tampa.
It's probably gonna be something like Myrtle Beach. I'm gonna say Myrtle Beach, something like that. So so now Cynthia comes down the aisle and we get like all these flashbacks of Mike and Cynthia through the years and hugging Noelle at the altar. And then there's like vows, which are just like pretty standard.
Yeah. Like, you know, his are like, you know, you're the most. Yeah, well, hers are basically like, I like your eyes and your suit. Your suit is very nice, so that's going to be fun. And his are like, well, you know, people ask me how I know that you're the one, and I just tell them, she's the 1,000th. Please read my book. Thanks.
Yeah, I thought it was so strange that they had a giant poster of his book cover right behind the altar. I was like, really? When are you going to stop promoting this? And then I found out their wedding planner was Katherine Heigl, so it all made sense.
She's raining down, and she's also like promoting his book.
Yeah. So we start to see like, so they kiss, they're married, and then we start to see people around the wedding. We saw Claudia Jordan with a super hot guy. You know, I always get happy when I see Claudia Jordan. So we saw her around. And then we see Todd walking around the reception, and I had this realization about Todd, and I hope you're able to join me on this realization. Seeing Todd at the wedding made me realize that Todd is so the person who comes and joins your high top table during cocktail hour and you're kind of like not really in the mood. Like, you know, when like you're at a wedding with some friends and then you go, you get your drink and some like snacks, hors d'oeuvres, and you find a high top and you stand around the high top and you're all talking. And then someone comes over and says, "Hey, mind if we stand here too?" And you're like, "Sure." But now the banter is totally killed. That is so Todd.
You know that that's so me, right? You've seen me at a wedding. Like,
"Hi, I'm Ronnie."
No, everyone loves
you.
You join a high top and everyone's happy. Everyone's happy when you join the high top. But when Todd joins, he sort of shows up. He goes, "Cool wedding, huh?" And you're like, "Oh, like I don't want to shoo you away because it's mean and there are not a lot of tables and you have a full plate, you know, but like, God, you're killing our high top banter right now."
Did that guy just say Dragger Heigl? Can we get rid of him? Get rid of this guy. So they're very happy. Everybody's very happy. But then we see everybody dancing and it says Eva's mic. So one of the guests, who I can only assume is Lisa Barlow from Salt Lake City, is like, "I love that. I love that. It's like the gay guy version of it. He's like, "I love everything about this wedding."
Yeah, he was definitely having a good time. He goes, "Her vows got me through it. Like, I loved it." Can we talk about the carpet munching going on, though? Can we?
"Stripper and carpet munching, bitch. Tell me everything." So Eva says, "Well, before the cameras went up, there was some licking. And then they made him pull his dick out. And that's when it got nuts." And she doesn't realize that she's being recorded over the...
Yeah.
Or maybe she does realize. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Well, he goes, "But that stripper's hot. Big old dick." And she goes, "Yeah, they're like, that's what made everyone get fucked, you know?" So that was pretty good. You know, I think that's enough to have Eva come back, you know, on the show.
Yeah.
Also, I want to point out that during this reception, we saw a bunch of people who, you know, from the Bravo universe. So we saw Claudia Jordan, as I mentioned. We see someone named Princess Love, who I actually am not familiar with who that is. And I could Google her, but I wasn't really in the mood. This was really shady. So we see Giselle at one point. And every time we see someone, they get a credit on the screen, right? And there's at one point, there is like a group photo and we get a chyron that says Karen Huger. And Tamika from Southern Charm New Orleans was right in the middle of that group, unmasked, totally visible. And they didn't even say Tamika or anything. Like, we saw Sheree, we saw everyone, and everyone under the sun got a chyron except for Tamika, which I thought pretty. That was, you know, lines were drawn in the sand.
Yeah, that's low. Shots Bravo. Fired.
Real low. There was something else I was going to say about this, but I forgot what it was.
So then I think we're going to go to more of the reception because we see Portia all dressed up and looking great and sitting down for dinner. But nope, Portia gets the last scene of the episode.
Oh, this is what I was going to say. There was a shot of Dennis at the wedding. That was so funny because at one point they mentioned, "Oh, Dennis was there." And there's this shot of Dennis, of course, sitting all the way at the edge of a pew and just like looking around like, Does anyone see me? Like, so Dennis. Like, of course, that's how Dennis is at a wedding.
No one's saying that they see me, and I just posted single AF. So
yeah, exactly.
So we go to Dennis and Portia having dinner, which, look, guys.
He's dressed like Despicable Me. I mean, it's ridiculous. Put some effort into it.
So she wants to have a conversation. And they want to have dinner. So he's like, "Okay, let's do this." And so she's like, "You dropped this single AF at the same time as the blog came out, which means you're sending crazy signals." And he's like, he just looks so bored because it's Dennis. I mean, I'm glad that he didn't wear his jumpsuit, his like purple, white, and
green.
green.
His Koopa Troopa jumpsuit. Like, this was like Koopa Troopa goes out to dinner. And so... Yeah, he's just like slouched over the table waiting for the food to arrive. And he's like, "We're too old for this." And she's like, "I don't need you to tell me how old I am." And he goes, "You're 40. She's like, "I'm not 40. She's like, "Stop it. Stop it."
And she's like, "Well, you're telling the world you're single AF and I haven't told the world yet."
"Portia, you're on a television show." And he's like, "Listen, we're either in a relationship or we're not." And she goes,
"Yeah, but then... But how when people are on and off, then, you know, then you text me late at night and you're asking me if I have a guy over."
And he's like, "Well, I'm not dating." She goes, "Oh, please, you're fucking."
Yeah.
Give me a break, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so he just like sort of saying all sorts of bullshit. He's like, well, you know, you have good times and you have bad times and you're supposed to put, you know, put your feet on in, on the concrete to work things out, you know, but you go to extremes. He's and then he goes, I don't even remember why we broke up. I'm like, remember when you cheated on her?
And remember last year when you had to apologize like 80 times and you and now you don't remember? That makes that really, really, really touching from last season, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's crying, which I can't, because I really like Portia, and I'm sick of her, like, choosing a shitty man and then trying to make it work with a shitty man over and over again.
She's not trying to make it work. He's the one who's trying to make it work because, you know, like, Portia's the best thing that ever happened to him. And so she's trying to be like, I'm not into you anymore. Like, go away. And he's like, you know what? When something happens, you have to solve the problem. I'm like, she is solving the problem. She is breaking up with you. That is solving the problem. So she's like, okay, let's restart. Okay, let me start the conversation. So the breakup, I felt like little issues started to get bigger and bigger and bigger for me. And I kept telling everyone that we were fine. But even though as I was saying it, it was like not sitting well with me. And he's like, well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for us to not live in the house together. And then she's like, why? And he goes, well, you kicked me out of the house 3 times. I'm like, Dennis, do you hear what you're saying? This is not a good relationship. If you've been kicked out of the house 3 times.
I know. But he does have a point there when he's like, why would we live together when you just keep kicking me out? Like, wouldn't it be wise for me to have an apartment to go to? And she's like, that's not the point. And he's like, yes, it is. And then your mother gets mad at me. And then she, you know, she's got the baby and she won't answer the phone because she's mad at you because of something you told her. And he's like, I'm not going to allow myself to be vulnerable anymore. I'm exhausted.
Oh,
wow, what a victim.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, poor Dennis being so vulnerable. He keeps trying to paint himself as this chivalrous, vulnerable, tenderhearted man. I'm like, you are not. You are not. You are manipulative. And you have like attached yourself to the Porsche train. And she doesn't want you anymore. And she's trying to get rid of your caboose. Sorry.
Let go of the caboose. Heigl, unlatch the caboose.
Heigl Railroads no longer needs you.
So that's it. It pretty much ends with Portia crying. And, you know, like a typical scene with Portia and Dennis, it ends with them saying how they're going to learn to communicate better. Which,
yeah, maybe
you
know,
via silence. I'm breaking up with the both of you, okay? I'm breaking up with you as a couple. I'm done with you. I have no more to give.
Dennis, I just, you know, I don't think better communication is in Dennis's future. I mean, just like the way he just sort of sits there like a lump. Okay, you don't expect good communication from a lump. He's just like, why'd you kick me out of the house? Dennis, stop it.
Well, Portia's communication isn't great either, okay? She ordered short rib, okay? What is that communicating? All you talk about is how you're a vegan, and then you go on TV and order short ribs. It was 2 weeks ago that you couldn't eat any of the barbecue, okay?
That's actually true. She did have hypocritical short rib.
Short rib of hypocrisy. Let's go over to Married to Medicine.
Speaking of communication issues, Married to Medicine. So the big thing in summary from last week is that Jackie and Simone are still... They are not friends. Things have really fallen apart. And since the reunion and the pandemic, and then there's also still issues with Simone and Heavenly sort of. And so Heavenly had a big party for Damon. Daddy is turning 50. And so she had a big party and everyone came to it and there was crabs in a bucket and Toya got wasted on tequila and then started yelling at everyone, demanding that they become better friends. And just, she felt like Simone and Heavenly, when they were rolling around on the floor at the reunion, it was fake. And she just wants them to be better friends, yada, yada, yada. And it's on that note that we come storming back into the episode at the party. And then the first thing we hear is Toya going, can I have a cupcake?
She goes, figure it out, bitch. Can I have a cupcake? And then Contessa's like, well, eat a cupcake, but if you're so offended, maybe just like not bring it up. And then we see Toya walk away with what looks like a gigantic burrito. And I'm not sure what's going on at this part. Is it a cupcake? Is it a burrito? Is it a burrito cupcake? maybe, I'm not really sure, but
maybe she thinks burritos are cupcakes. You know, Toya has, you know, sometimes she perceives reality in a different way. She's like, I love the cupcakes at Taco Bell. So she leaves her friend Anila. Anila's a new cast member. So she just leaves Anila with the group, and they have this shot where they just do a close-up of Anila slurping a margarita, and they put the volume up on her slurp so loudly. It's like, wow, you're really doing Anila dirty with her slurping.
And Anila has this just kind of like slow way about her where she's like, she slurps and her eyes are kind of crossed, and she's there just standing up for Toya no matter what. She's like, you guys, she's right. Just like the picture of it was so funny. And so meanwhile, the guys are all talking and they're like, what's going on over there? And they're like, well, she's tired of your shit, and then your wife is tired of her shit.
Yeah, she's like, I just want to go home. And then Curtis is like, well, if you're frustrated about something else and you're bringing it over here to the men, that's not fair. I'm like, you know what, let's not forget what you brought over to your wife, Curtis. Okay, you will take Toya's drunken crab leg cupcake behavior.
Yeah. Curtis is in a whole new mood this season. He's in like Howdy Doody outfits, like very like plaid suits.
Yes.
And like he's got a whole new vibe this season.
And you know what, last week what I said on our audio glitched episode, I did say that Curtis is actually a little bit out of the doghouse with me, because I really enjoyed on the premiere how he was shading all the people at the supermarket who weren't wearing masks. And he's like, do they think this is fake, that this is over? I was like, you know what, Curtis?
Yeah, now you're on Team Curtis all the way, huh?
Well, a little bit. I just feel like he's allowed to have a paw. A little paw can come out of the doghouse.
So, yeah, Toya's over there like, I'm tired of her shit, and your wife is making up fake shit, and I'm tired of your wife not making up with her. And Simona's cracking up back with the girls. She's like, did Toya just leave Anila here by herself?
Anila's just trying to slurp up crab at this point. She just has a straw and a crab, like.
Okay, so then back with Heavenly and Simone. Heavenly's like, we were good. She's like, I'm not saying sorry again. And Simone's like, well, look, I should have picked up the phone and let you know I am not harboring ill feelings towards you, which is why I am saying this in sort of a yell.
I know. And Heavenly's like, okay, well, now that we've decided we can speak, there's an elephant in the room, okay? And you and Jackie have not been communicating like you always have. And Simone goes, we have not. And when we were in New York, for you to tell me that your relationship, she's talking to Jackie, your relationship with Heavenly and your relationship with me are equally important to me, that hurt my feelings. And then we see a flashback of Jackie saying, I can't say that Heavenly is not a good friend to me either, which is not the same of equating it. And also, even if she did equate it, like, you need to like deal with whatever issues that you have that you feel insecure by someone having a very good friendship with someone else. It could be a totally different friendship, and it might not have 20 years of history in it, but you're totally allowed to be very close with someone that you've only known for five years is a long time. It's okay.
Yeah, I think she's just mad because on the show, they're like, you know, partners in crime or whatever, you know, they're like besties on the show. And then now she's filming with Heavenly all the time, and they've got like their hilarious hijinks going on. And I think Simone's like, what the hell? You know,
and it's also complicated by the fact that Simone and Heavenly were really, you know, in a bad place.
Yeah, but I mean, Heavenly's always in a bad place. Heavenly's always doing something to piss somebody off. And I think Simone is always forgiving it, but now she's just going to hold on to this tweet thing. Like, Heavenly tweeted bad things about her husband and saying he needed to get a job and all of this. Like, she's still going to bring that into this season. I mean, wasn't that from the prior season already?
Yeah. So at first, I think we're maybe going to start solving this because Jackie is like, you're exactly right. We've been through some stuff, our dads, our marriages, and we've been able to get through a lot of shiggity together, and I hurt you too. She did say shiggity, right? Or is that just me? Okay. Yeah. Well, please tell me I did not make that up. Shiggity.
It's just Jackie's way of avoiding cussing is so funny.
We've been through shiggity. Shiggity is new it.
We've been through so much shiggity together. And I hurt as well. And let me make my hurt face. Okay, that's the same as my happy face, but it's hurt. And it's just, happy hurt.
And just in case you thought this was me coming to you and working to help us build beyond the past, I do want to mention that you didn't correct Buffy at the reunion. I was like, oh, okay. And now we see flashback to last season where Buffy is like, she says, you know, I didn't like the comment about me being infertile. And then Jackie was like, I'm sorry. And it's done. Right. And then at the reunion, Andy is like, did you think that was a good apology? And Buffy's like, no. And then they ask Simone. Simone's like, no, it was not a good apology. And so Jackie's still mad about that, which is Jackie's wrong, too, because it was a shitty ass apology and she should know better.
Yeah, but Jackie, you know, Jackie was totally wrong in that situation, I think, by bringing up Buffy being infertile. Okay, there's no argument. That was terrible. But she apologized so many times, and then she gave a really good apology, I thought, at one point. And then it's like it keeps being brought up again, you know?
Yeah,
and
but like it was brought up like, by Andy.
I'm not saying it again, okay?
Yeah, but no, when she said, like, done and over, it was, she, like, she needed to, it was not heartfelt. It was her, it was like the second time, the problem is the first time she did it, it really was not, it did not feel like it was coming from the heart. And then the second time it did not feel that way. And then you're right, she did give a really good one at one point. I think it was at the reunion itself. But the point is this, I would have thought by now she would have had, because she had that really good apology at the reunion, she finally had that realization like, oh, you know, like, I really needed to be more tender to this woman. And so I don't know why she's holding Simone accountable for like co-signing with Buffy about the previous less sincere apologies.
Yeah, they're both ridiculous. They just need to make up. Nobody wants to watch this show with Jackie and Simone not being friends. Okay.
Yeah, it's actually
I need
hurting
you to
me.
Be friends. Like, you're not fun fighting. This isn't fun fighting.
It's
this
like
is
sad
like
fighting.
I'm really hurt fighting.
Like,
yeah.
I'm hurt.
I don't like it. Yeah.
I don't like
it hurts,
it.
Okay?
I don't like it.
So then Simone is crying, and Cecil's just standing there smiling huge. He's like, you crying? It's like, yes. Are you still crying? Yes, I'm crying. Are you still crying? Yes, God.
And then Contessa has a bombshell. She goes, I think the screaming and getting loud is a protective mechanism. Oh, really? You think? I hope that's not what you got your degree in. Wow. Come on.
You went to Nashville for that or what?
And then she goes, Jackie's trying to play tough like she doesn't care, but she cares. Wow. Another bombshell from Contessa. She really, wow. What would we do without her?
So Simone is like, well, I will say bye now. So she goes back and she's like, we're going, but look, Heavenly, I'm not blaming you for what's going on here, right? And Heavenly goes, well, at least we had a start. And Simone goes, it did not go well. The start did not go well.
And Heavenly's like, I think it did for you and I. And by the way, we should also mention that when Simone had walked away, Anila went running after her and gave her like a hug. And I'm like, what? You guys like just met in the bus. What is happening here? What is happening?
Yeah, so then it turns really quickly, right?
Right.
So Simone goes, well, you know what, Heavenly, I'm just hurt and disappointed that you went to the gutter with me. And Heavenly's like, when your husband says something negative about me, don't I have a right? You know, Heavenly just gets up and starts crouching in her face and pointing in her face, screaming, a man doesn't go there with a woman, and that's how I feel about it, Simone. And now she's up and just squealing and yelling, and now they're yelling in each other's face. And Jackie's like, this is old news. It's the same shiggity thing over and over again.
I'm like, you're the one who's mad at Simone about the Buffy thing. Talk about shiggity old news. And then Heavenly, she goes, don't fuck with me because I'm trying to get along with your dirty ass. I'm trying to get along with you. I love that. Yelling at someone that you're trying to get along with them.
Yeah, finger in her face. And Contessa's like, why can't I just be the pretty girl at the party? Why am I always having to be the bouncer? And so we get clips of Contessa always having to break up fights. And then Heavenly's still yelling. And then Daddy comes up to her. And Heavenly's like, she's just going off. And Daddy's like, stop talking. Just stop talking.
doesn't have to be like this. Stop. It's okay. It's okay, baby. It doesn't have to be like this. So so then Simone is now bitching to Anila, and she's like, Heavenly makes up so many lies. It's not even funny. And then Damon is like, you can forgive, or you can keep on moving, or you can break a glass in your hands when you get nervous. Whatever you want to do. Black people are under attack, and we don't need to attack each other. So then Simone and Cecil go back to the bus, and she opens up the bus, and Toya's just in there. She's just like standing and in there, and she's like, what happened? Why are you crying? Yeah, it's like, what are you doing in there, Toya?
And she's like, do I need to fight the bitch? Because she said she had a blow up with Heavenly. And she's like, I told you guys we had to go. Why are we still here?
Did you hear me just Anila just now? I Anila'd. I slurped. I slurped my iced coffee. I'm like, I didn't mean to. Sorry, everyone. It was a real slurp. So so Cecil's basically like, listen, COVID's happening. BLM is happening. Can we squash this and just be friends? And the answer is, unfortunately, you're on a Bravo show, so the answer is no, Cecil. Yes.
Work is back in season, sir. So, Heavenly, did you notice when people are leaving Heavenly's house, she has a sign at the exit that says, stay out!
Yep, I did notice that. So, now it's like the next day, and we're seeing, you know, life around the world. We have Dr. Jackie's with a patient, and Simone's with a patient. Most disconcertingly, we see Heavenly with Alora, who's like, I don't know, probably like 14 or 15 at this point, and she's like a young woman. Like, I had a hard enough time last season when Alora kind of went from little girl to tween, and now she's like, I can't. I honestly can't, and I won't, and I refuse.
I know. I love Alora, and she's so cute. She's just giggling at Heavenly. Heavenly's like, so what are you doing in that room? Because I hear a lot of noise. Who is that calling you? She's like, would you tell me if you had a boyfriend? She's like, no, Mom, no.
Let me see that boy in your phone.
She's like, no, Mom, no. She's so cute. I need Alora to be like all gorgeous and mature like she is, but also still tell her mom off. Can we get that back?
Yeah, I would like that as well. And then we go over to Toya's house where she's parked her golf cart, and her kids are doing math because they love school. And Toya's kids are so cute. I would say that in general, the children on Married to Medicine are kind of the best kids on Bravo. Like, without a doubt. Like, I feel like every season I'm always like, oh, what a cute kid. Like, they're always like, they're so nice. They're well behaved. They seem to understand that their parents are ridiculous. It's just, great childhood.
It's like the only kids I've ever seen on TV who are like, we love homework. I know. Just like enjoying doing their homework.
Not sitting on counters. Yeah.
Not sitting on the sushi cage.
No, they're just like great kids all around. Like all these families have just these lovely children. So
then Toya walks over as if she helps him with their homework. I am so sure that Toya is able. Toya, you know what? You have your strengths. Okay. You have a 2-story closet. There's one.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend you're helping your kids with fractions. Okay.
No.
She's like, oh, so you're writing each ratio as a fraction. I love spelling. So move over. I'll help you.
Yeah, so she's helping. And then she tells us actually that the kids are going to a new school because the previous school was mostly white kids and they didn't really seem to care about BLM. And so she's putting them in another school that really is all about it and, you know, is all about like lots of, you know, multicultural experiences. So good for you, Toya. I totally think that's awesome. And then we go over to Contessa jogging, which, you know, finally she gets a good storyline, jogging to the office. So she and Scott get to this new office where they're opening up a new practice, and there's basically like a young no-no is there named Leonardo who is building the space. He's like, come in, meet the ball.
So they're going to have a joint office, and she says that Scott was, she's like, you know, we've had so many ups and downs. You know, Scott wasn't supportive of my dream and wanted me to quit school. Like, okay, so these two still haven't worked it out. That's a very one-sided way of looking at it. But okay, Contessa, we're starting anew this season, so okay, I'll go with that. But then she says that she went to school for addiction medicine. She going to school for public health or something?
Well, it's possible that they're one in the same or one is, like that might be a more specific
discipline. Yeah, I guess.
Discipline.
I just never heard it. Either way, doing addiction medicine. Yeah. Call me, girl.
She's addicted to compelling storylines. So either way, it does not sound like they've had ups and downs. It sounds like they've just had downs and downs.
It's downs. They hate each other. They hate each other's guts. Okay, they don't even bother to hide hating each other's guts. She's like, well, here we are starting a practice. We're going to work together. And he's like, well, we've worked together before. And she's like, yeah, remember? We scheduled each other on different days so we didn't have to see each other. And he's like, are we going to do that now?
Yeah. He basically doesn't want to do any more counseling. It sort of sounds like they stopped counseling. And because he says, you know, we're adult enough to figure it out ourselves. I'm like, adults are the people who need the most counseling. You have too many years of dysfunction under your belt. Like, why? Yes. Why are you saying that? Like, if adults could figure it out without counseling, don't you think we would have like a great world? Don't you think things would be like functional and wonderful?
Yeah, no one needs more counseling than us, for sure.
And you're on a show about medicine, and you're kind of like, you're kind of disavowing an entire field that's actually very important, mental health.
Well, I think he was saying that they're going to go back to counseling. He didn't say that, but he was saying, you know, I know that I said that we shouldn't have more counseling because we're mature enough to do it ourselves, but we're still fighting about the same shit, you know? And she's like, well, I thought communication would help. Okay, everyone just needs to stop with this. Communication is key, okay? Communication is not key. Because you know what's communication? Saying, fuck you, I don't like you, and I'm working on different days than you. That's a form of communication. It's like a blanket statement that everyone throws out. Like, we just need to communicate better.
Yeah. If you're on a reality show, you're automatically not communicating better, okay? You're letting other people literally edit and mince up your communication. So think about that next time. So then we go over to
They just say, we're going to work on us, right? Oh, yeah, we're going to work on us. Communication. So there we go again.
Thank God that Leonardo is also our therapist. So so now we go over to Heavenly's office, and she's sort of showing us the things that she has to do in a dental office to make it healthy and clean and, you know, careful in these times, which was pretty cool. I went to the dentist back in November, and it was like a little harrowing, you know, nothing like just being unmasked and having your mouth just open, just collecting air during a pandemic to sort of rattle you a little bit. So, you know, it's...
I'll tell you, next time... I haven't been to the dentist in so long. Next time I go to the dentist, it's going to be harrowing for the dentist, okay? They're going to be terrified. They're going to need a jackhammer. Okay?
But you know what, though? My dentist did all the things that Heavenly did also, and I think that's really great. I mean, I feel like I'm being so condescending. I'm like, you know what? That dentist is just great. I'm so glad they do this. I'm like, everyone I'm giving awards to on this episode. But it was cool. It was cool to see what
your
she
COVID
had to do.
Awards. The Ben COVID Awards.
Ben COVID Awards. I'm married to medicine. So she gets, this is a very meta moment. So she has a patient in Funky Deneva, who is like a big time, like, gossip huge. Blogger. Huge. He's been around for what, like 10 years or so or more? So she has him in as a patient, and then we see like we cut away to him, some of his like hot takes on his YouTube show where he's recapping Married to Medicine, which I thought was so, that was very fourth wall, having like a Married to Medicine recap by the person who's on Married to Medicine, who's guesting on Married to Medicine in this moment. It was very strange.
And she's like, you know, Funky has some teeth and we need to remove those and put in some implants. And she goes, you gotta have your grill right. She's like, you can't talk about people with your teeth missing on the side, okay?
No, you can't. But then she keeps like talking about how funny he is and how hilarious, which is true. But I was like, did NBC Universal buy out Funky Deneva? This is kind of funny. They're like, this, like, and here's another thing that's great about his YouTube channel. I was like, this is odd. And I support it if it happened, by the way. I don't think it really happened.
Yeah, I hope Funky got a partnership. That would be amazing.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not trying to start shit.
To all of us.
I'm not trying to start shit. I don't think he really got bought out. I just thought it was funny that Heavenly was going on about it.
So, Ben, you're saying that you're coming for Funky right now.
I'm totally coming for Funky Deneva. Totally.
So then we go to Anila's house for the first time. Well, that's like her first family shot scene. And her nanny's there, Miss Gomez, and she's making them kale. So they eat very healthy in that family. Like, damn. Yeah.
And she has two kids, Ariana and Avir. And so her husband, Dr. Kieran, he comes back and he does the whole thing where he gets like undressed out of his scrubs and everything. And he is such a dad. Like he just like gets into the most dad clothes a dad could ever have. He's like, hey, guess who's back? The biggest dad of all dad time. It's me, Dr. Kieran.
It's dad.
Dr. And
he's got that surprised dad look on his face all the time. Like when your dad's trying to make you go down the slide for the first time and he's like, it's going to be fun. You know, that like, I'm surprised and already laughing at the hijinks face.
Yeah. Like he's the one at the party who says, you ever watch Big Bang Theory? Gosh, it is so funny. I love it. If I can stay awake for it. You know, I fall asleep so early.
So how do you think he did meet your mother? Are we ever going to find out?
CBS has just great content.
So she tells us, being married to a doctor in COVID is tough. Kieran and I met 7 years ago. He's an ocular plastic eye surgeon, lift surgeon, whatever. And she's like, but I'm not just a doctor's wife. I used to be like an analyst. Have you watched Devil Wears Prada? That was my job. Like, was it?
Yeah,
was that girl like, what was that?
Did you shade the color of cerulean? She was basically, yeah, she goes, I was a global forecasting analyst for a fragrance company. It was my dream job. I'm like, that doesn't sound anything like Devil Wears Prada.
No, I thought maybe I need to watch that again. A global forecasting.
Oh, you know, when Anne Hathaway gets a job as an assistant to a global forecasting analyst for a fragrance company and then moves to Atlanta. So she basically gave up her job after they got married and she started blogging from home, gave her something to do. And then we see footage of her like walking down a staircase and Miss Gomez, the nanny, taking photos of her. And she goes, snap, snap, snap away, snap away, snap, snap, snap away. And Mrs. Gomez is just like taking photos. And then she goes, I'm Indian, I'm a mom, and I enjoy fashion. That's what makes me unique. Like, so you can be Indian and a mom, but you can't enjoy fashion, or you can be a mom and enjoy fashion, but then you're probably not Indian, or you're an Indian and you enjoy fashion, but means you're not a mom. But she is the one who's all three.
This girl's a triple threat. Get her on Instagram.
That's right, everyone. The first ever Indian mom who likes fashion. First time.
So they're talking about how he's trying to make more money because everybody basically had to take 2 months off due to COVID. And she's like, do you think you can make that money really quick? Because this is the worst year we could have built my house, my dream house. And I was like, oh, God. So we get Toya's dream house. But now, again, through this lady.
Yeah, she flew too close to the sun, and by the sun I mean Toya. I think Toya was able to like pass along her curses onto Anila now, because basically they started building their house and then COVID hit and they got really screwed. And Anila talks about how Toya was really lucky because Toya she was able to finish her house right before the pandemic, etc. And they actually met through the guy who built Toya's house, and now he built their house.
And we find out why Neela is following her around and being her, you know, like partner or whatever, like standing up for her or whatever and doing whatever she wants, because basically Toya did everything. Okay. She got her on the tennis team in this neighborhood. Yeah. She introduced her to all the girls. She got her on TV. She's like, instant connection. I'm not fucking with this lady. Okay.
I love suburban Toya and her fascination with tennis. Like last week, she was talking about how like she's like being on the tennis team and she's like trying to get Eugene to play tennis with her. She's like all about this suburban tennis situation. She's basically slowly turning into Jill Zarin. Season one, so Jill Zarin.
Hi. And that golf cart. Oh my God. I love how Toya loves that golf cart. Every time we see Toya, she's on that fucking golf cart.
She really is. Like on the highway. She's just in the golf cart on the highway.
So her little kid, Amir, starts coughing and she's like, do not cough. Everyone is scared of coughing right now. Please don't do that. So he's like, ha 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 ha. And it's just a COVID comedy.
Yeah, so I'm then sure we go over. Loved that. I'm sure they loved it.
So then we go over to the day of Michael's graduation bash.
Yeah, so Michael graduated. I wonder if he went to the same school as Riley, because it was looked like sort of the same football field and they're wearing red robes. But then again, that could be a pretty generic thing. So so they're having like a big like a barbecue, like in a parking lot. The food looked amazing. I saw some amazing, looked like some links going on there that I really wanted to have. And people come over, and Eugene comes over and is like, he's saying how proud he is of Michael. And, you know, it's a nice graduation party. I felt like I was actually at a graduation party.
What can you say?
I felt like I was at one, which I don't know what that says about it for television content. But the most important thing here is that Jackie was not invited.
Jackie wasn't invited, and someone walks by, and it's
skinny. That's really later. Skinny. No, it's unless you want to stop and talk about.
No, we don't need to do that. So Toy, I just read that and I was like, no, I'm bored. So then Toy is there and she's like, oh my God, look, it's Jackie. Because just some random tall woman that's thin passes by. Yeah. And so Simone looks really scared and Cecil's like, oh my God, that lady can't be more than 50 pounds. And she says, it's Jackie. This girl is a mess.
So then Simone thanks the group and says how proud she is of Michael. And then we see Michael went like 7 years ago. He's so adorable. And then now we go to Jackie's house and Curtis is cooking chicken in the air fryer.
And Jackie says, my favorite sound, the air fryer. Okay, I don't know how many of you have an air fryer, but this is how it sounds. Like, who loves that sound?
It's like only fucking Jackie would love that sound. We had a very, very vibrant discussion about air fryers on Clubhouse last week. I just want to say. So I might get one. I'm just putting it out there into the universe.
I have a convection oven. Same deal. You just put it in there and turn on the convection. It blows the air around. That's what an air fryer is.
I know you always say that. You always say that, but I'm wondering if there's something more to it. I mean, we had some very staunch air fryer, you know, proponents.
Really? Were they saying it's not just like a convection oven?
You know, I forgot to ask them, but one of them works with on the Rachel Ray show, and I really felt like she had a lot of authority on this subject. So, you know.
I mean, Rachel Ray.
I felt like Rachel Ray was talking to me directly. I felt like I can't say no to Rachel Ray. She was talking.
I don't
to
know
me.
How much trust I have in Rachel Ray. Have cereal, but then if you have cereal, but you cut up your own blueberries, it's your own version of cereal. I'm like, okay, Rachel Ray.
That's a little bit. Sure, I feel like that's a little bit more Pioneer Woman, to be honest.
Oh, no, I love Pioneer Woman. She's like, put mayonnaise on it. You know what? Put some mayonnaise. My family loves this, and then it's just you know, mayonnaise and bread.
Yeah, she made Pioneer Woman the other day I was watching. She was making some sort of breakfast French toast. And she's like, this breakfast French toast, it's actually more of a dessert. It's so rich. I love it. You put a lot of cream on the French toast. You put it in the oven. It's basically like a dessert. Don't tell my family. It's basically a dessert. It's not breakfast. It's a dessert. Don't tell them.
Yeah.
This is basically a dessert. I'm like, okay, we get it, Redrum. Just say it's a dessert. It's fine. We're like, please stop like going through this crisis on the air. Okay. It's a dessert. Like, she clearly had an argument.
Should I put
with
this in a cone? It's a dessert. I mean, it might as well just be a dessert. Anybody got some birthday candles? Because this might as well be a dessert.
The last thing I saw, she was like, coming up next, I'm making amazing Greek grilled chicken. I'm going to show you how to do it. I was like, oh, okay, I'm in for that. And so then she comes back and she's like, okay, here, I got some chicken and I just marinated it overnight in a pre-made store-bought Greek marinade. And here's how you cook it. You put it on the grill and you put some peppers on it and there you have it. I was like, you're going to just skip over the marinade?
Make sure you make it with love. My family loves it. Okay, so her favorite sound is the air fryer. So then Jackie's like, wow, you really turned me on in the kitchen when you cook like this with that air fryer. And then they start playing like porn music. And it's just Jackie totally looking bored in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then it shows Curtis looking totally bored. And then back to Jackie looking bored. And the music's just like, bam,
bam, bam. I know. Bam, I was like, stop trying to make sexy happen, producers. We're not feeling it. Like, they clearly are so bored and tired.
Meanwhile, without the music and the editing, it's just two people in a kitchen with this in the background.
It's two people who have nothing left to say to each other in their marriage, filling the void with the sound of an air fryer. That's why she's
Have we talked about the closet yet? Okay, well, let's just sit here in the air fryer silence.
So, so they're talking about the graduation party and... You know, Jackie's like, you know, you expect your girlfriend, you expect to put aside differences when it comes to children, because Jackie delivered Michael. She was the first person to touch him, as she's happy to mention. And you see, again, more footage of Jackie with the kids, which is really cute. And
yeah, I thought this was really shitty to not invite her to the graduation.
I agree. It's very, super very shitty.
Don't like it. Not Team Simone, even though I really like Simone in general. But yes. Not Team Simone. Nope.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think the problem with Simone is that she tends to dwell on the petty a little bit more than she probably wants to admit. So, yeah. So Jackie is just left at home with the air fryer, which is a child in its own way. I actually think that, in all seriousness, I think what was also really shitty for Simone is that we have seen over the years how Jackie has a very complicated relationship in terms of children, how she doesn't have children. She wants children. Yeah. She wanted to adopt and what's his face? Curtis was not for it. And it wasn't really explicitly stated, but it sort of sounds like in some way, Simone's kids, she has a very maternal relationship to them. And I think that by Simone not inviting Jackie, I think it hurts in levels that are like way deeper than we're seeing.
Yeah, good point. Now I'm starting to hate Simone. Oh my God. I didn't even think about it like that. But yeah, Simone, you're an asshole, okay? Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Jackie's being an asshole too, to some degree, but Simone, I think, is really...
Well, neither one of them will just be the one to call and say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Hey, you know, like, we have to start somewhere. Let's start. You know, they're both being stubborn.
Over something real stupid.
But this is extremely shitty.
This is extremely shitty. I really agree about that. And, you know, I love Simone. I really do. I think that she's great, but I think this was a very regrettable decision on her part.
Not cool. So then back at the party, Simone is like, okay, so let's talk about what went wrong the other night at the party. And Simone's like, well, you missed a lot. You know, I took the ego out of it and I laid my heart out and I said why it hurt me. And I put my ego to the side and I was honest.
Like, you walked away. You said that shit and then you walked away. There was no way for there to be resolution because you walked away, you know?
Yeah, and then Toria's like, oh, okay, because she's not buying it either. Yeah. Simone's like, don't look up at my weave when you say oh, and they all start cracking up.
Yeah. And then so then Simone goes over to Heavenly's house after this party, and she's like, well, I brought a bottle of water to either slap you upside the head or drink from. So she basically is like, before I can fix Jackie, I've got to deal with one thing at a time. I'm going to deal with Heavenly first. I'm going to take care of this, right? So she sits down with
Heavenly. Well, what's odd is she says that she's fixing it with Heavenly first because she can actually see a future where her and Heavenly can get along, but Jackie, she's not so convinced. So how is that any better than Jackie saying that she at least gets along as well with Heavenly as you? You know? Like,
that's
now you're putting Heavenly before you put Jackie.
That's
true. Which is either just petty revenge of you or hypocrisy.
Yeah. I mean, it's all so silly. She's going to look back on this and she's really going to regret it, you know? So.
And it also shows that without Jackie there, these two really don't care. Like, they don't have any beef with each other because they have the same old fight again. You know, it's like, well, I think the tweet started and it just went downhill from there. And Heavenly's like, well, I'm going to go backwards for 1 second and then I don't ever want to go backwards again. Okay. So Mariah said she has receipts on my husband cheating. And then you jumped to her side and kind of took joy on it. And so maybe joy in it. And so maybe I was feeling some kind of way before that. And I thought some of those tweets were you, Simone. Which, not a terrible point. They probably were. Let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, these are basically women who are not not communicating like Scott and Contessa, but they aren't, and they're sort of channeling their rage through these things and doing very destructive things to each other, which then has like just, you know, I don't think that Simone and Jackie would have fallen out if there were if this situation with Heavenly hadn't happened, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought Heavenly was really good. She was very honest about where she was coming from, and Simone sees it and appreciates it. And, you know, they sort of talk about how, you know, they have negative feelings that they well up and they come out in ways that are hurtful. I'm like, yes. So maybe apply that to Jackie, your relationship with Jackie, please.
Yeah. So they basically get over it in 2 seconds and don't fight at all, you know, because Jackie's not there. So they're not that Jackie actually does anything, but just to get them inflamed about it. So Heavenly's like, well, we need to talk about you guys because she wants to get the Golden Girls back. And I'm like, girl, I would take the Golden Girls back even if it was just Betty White. I don't even care. Just put Betty White on there and just let her just let her walk around the kitchen with her own cheesecake. Like, I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, Heavenly's like, look, you know what? Simone's not only a friend, but she's a black woman and a very successful and educated black woman. And it's important for us to uplift each other. So so Simone is like, yeah, my relationship with Jackie's at rock bottom and I have zero to lose by being honest with her right now. And then the dog starts barking and keeps barking. And they're like, what's going on with this dog? And Evelyn's like, oh, he better not be pissing on my stuff. And they go over to look at the dog. And there's just like, I guess, a dead squirrel carcass or body part on the mat. They're like, ah!
And Evelyn tells it, bitch, bye!
She goes, I forgive you, bitch, bird. Bye.
Oh, welcome home, Marriage of Medicine.
Welcome home. Thank you all for listening to this double episode. We're back tomorrow with some Below Deck Sailing Yacht, which we can tell you is going to be a good one. And don't forget, set your DVRs for Watch What Happens Live tomorrow night. And if you're listening to this, it's Tuesday, March 16th is when we're going to be on with Ira and Sasha. And we had so much fun. So go check that out and support Iron and Sasha too. Give them a follow on whatever platform you want. And we'll be back on the next one. Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Patricia Murdoch, she wrote.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.